to go. Little does Adam know I put him in my sermon today, and I'm going to use him as a puppet. Truly great to be up here again today. Truly great. Bruce, can you throw that next screen up here? So it's my second part of my little mini-series here that I'm doing called Wake Up. And if you'll remember, last week, the main verse that I put out there was that you need to wake up because you're sleeping or you're dead. And that was for two different people. For the non-Christian, it means you need to wake up and come to Christ because you're dead. For the Christian who's not moving, it means you need to wake up because you're dead. You're in a spiritual slumber. You are separated. I'm from God. Today I'm going to talk a lot about time. A lot about time, because I want you to know that we all have the same amount of time every week, right? There's 24 hours in a day, and there's 7 days a week. And that's 168 hours a week. If you want to go to seconds, there's 604,800 seconds in a week. We get the same amount of time. But I dare to say that we don't all use that time the same. And we do not use it the way God desires us to use it. And that is pretty tough words, correct? Because we don't. I've made a statement when we prayed back here, and it's totally true. As I studied this week for this sermon, I actually started a little bit last week, but when I studied this week for this sermon, I don't want you to think that I did it every day, because I'm not that good. Okay? All right? I'm not. But it really woke me up to the fact that I'm really not that good. I'm not. And there was a verse from Hosea 14:1, that really caught my eye as I was studying. And what I do is I looked at numerous sermons on the topic that I wanted to hit today. And I started taking things that good people have already researched and found. So I researched their research. All right? And when I found this verse, I thought, man, this is great. Because it says, "Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall." And I went ahead and I went to verse 3. "Take words with you and return to the Lord and say to him, 'Forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may be the offer fruit of your lips.'" So we can take that first statement, though, "Return, Israel, to the Lord. Your sins have been your downfall." And I want you to think of it this way. Take Israel out. All right? Return, Jeff Arndt, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Return, Jeff Gibson, to the Lord. Your sins have been your downfall. We can take any name in this room and place it there. We can go farther than that, and we can put Missouri, Potosi, Washington County, the United States, France, I don't know, pick one, okay? We can put anybody there because we're all in the same boat. And I think this is what Paul realized when he was writing this to the church of Ephesus, okay? That there's a sense of urgency here. Time is ticking away. I know not many know this song, but it was a song of my youth from DC Talk. Time is ticking away. Look that one up. That's a good one. All right? So with urgency, we all know that we got the same amount of time. We all know that we don't necessarily spend our time like we should, obviously. It's time for us to wake up. So Bruce, go to the next, our set of verses for today. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence of Christ. So I've carried on through verses, and we're going to break down these verses today because I don't think that we have the urgency that we should have as a nation, as a state, as a town, as a county, as a church, and as an individual. I don't think we're as urgent, right? And what Paul is saying here is that we need to live with wise urgency, with wisdom. If we look at the first three verses here, look carefully then how you walk, not as wise but unwise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. When Christ calls us, he calls us immediately. And I found this awesome deal from C.S. Lewis. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll summarize it for you. I want you to pretend that you're an old broken down house. Right? And God is coming to rebuild that house. When you ask the Lord into your heart, he comes to rebuild that house. And you know what? There might be a broken window, some pipes that need to be fixed. And we knew that was going to happen because we just got an old broken down house, right? There's things that we need to fix in it, and God is coming there to fix it up. But then what we didn't realize, that not only did God come to fix it up, all of a sudden, he adds a wing on this side. All right? He adds a wing on this side. He adds some towers, fortifies it, strengthens it, makes it whiter than snow. You thought you were just going to get a decent little cottage, but he made a palace. God doesn't just come into to fix the little things that are wrong in your life. He comes in to change you. To change you. And the reason is because there's a spiritual danger in this world, and I don't know that we're truly aware of it. I think that most of us feel that the days are harmless because, you know, it's nice outside. We're all here in church today, probably going to have a good meal this evening, this afternoon. But I want you to know that Satan isn't out there necessarily. I mean, he doesn't have to persecute us into ineffectiveness, okay? He just uses pleasure, usually, most of the time. He uses pleasure to get us into ineffectiveness. So in these first few verses, Paul here is giving us a warning to pay attention, a warning to wake up because the days are evil. And, you know, God works in his own way. Obviously, on that first Good Friday, nobody looked at the cross on that day and probably saw the good news. They probably thought it was utter failure. The Savior was just condemned on a cross, broken. But 3 days later, boy, did things change. We have to change the way we think about things, okay? If we're going to live as wise and have with wisdom and have urgency, then we have to change the way that we do some things. We have to start thinking about the big picture here. I think a lot of songs that we sing talk about fear and how, I'm not going to lie, fear has had some control over me. Fear of dying, and that's not from wisdom, that's from ignorance. Correct? There should be no fear of dying. Because I'm saved. So that's me being ignorant. And that's what Satan wants. That's how he wants us to fear all day long. Fear drives us into unneeded pleasures. Fear drives us down the road that we're not supposed to go down. That's what Satan wants. He wants you to fear. He wants you to be ignorant. And Paul is telling the church of Ephesus this. Now, verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If we want to be wise, there are certain things that we have to do, correct? And some of that's sitting here today. We're not to forsake joining together. And hopefully, I share some of God's wisdom, not my wisdom, because you don't want my wisdom, okay? God's wisdom today. So, with urgency, Paul is telling us that we are to be wise. Now, the next thing in verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, people have took this many different ways, all right? Break it down for you. In Ephesians 1:23, Paul says that the church is Christ's body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And in 3:19, he prays that we will be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God. And in 4:10, he says, Jesus ascended on high, or higher than all the heavens, in order to fill the whole universe. In 4:13, he says, God put the gifts in the church to become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And in 5:18, Paul says to be filled with the Spirit. So, God did not create a world full without him. He created a world to be filled with him. So, when I look at this verse, I think, well, it's just saying probably it's talking to everybody who drinks too much. And it could be, right? We know that drunkenness is bad, right? I know medically that alcohol is a depressant, okay? It depresses basically the controls in your brain, all right, that give you self-control, wisdom, understanding, discrimination, judgment, balance, and the power to assess everything. In other words, everything that makes a person behave at his very best and highest, okay? You use too much alcohol, we know that it takes that stuff away, all right? You don't get to, you don't have control over yourself like you did before. And if I was to take the Holy Spirit, though, it's not a depressant, it's a stimulant. He really does stimulate. And, you know, in saying that, he's going to change the way you do things. He's going to give you more power. He stimulates everything in your brain, your mind, your intellect, your heart, your will. So if I go back to this verse, we're really talking about what are we filling ourselves up with, Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So I'm going to go back to last week when I talked about all the stuff that I do and you do that literally separates us from God. And if we're filling ourselves with that, that leads to debauchery. You are taking things that wasn't meant to be in your system, and it's messing it up. Okay? It doesn't have to be drug, and it doesn't have to be alcohol. If you are taking hours upon hours of TV and putting that into your system, do you really think that that's good for you? I know my daughters are saying, Dad, you watched 17 episodes of Person of Interest this week. Every time we went into the living room, you watched Person of Interest. Well, I'm saying when I do this stuff, it hits me also. And it doesn't have to just be TV. It can be anything in your life that you are filling yourself with because you were meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You were meant to be filled with Jesus. Okay? So, wise urgency. You want to be wise, you have to fill yourself with Jesus. And we have to be urgent about this. We have to be urgent. Another point of view, we go through 19 through 21, is pretty simple. It's kind of what we're doing here today, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in reverence to Christ. And when you look at it, this is through everything that's going on in your life. This is through a pandemic. This is through a death in the family. This is through somebody being bad sick and you can't do nothing about it. It's through all of that that we are to address each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. As I was going through this section studying, I came upon a story of John Wesley, who was basically an Englishman, and there's a lot more to John Wesley for those of you that know. I credit it with the Great Awakening. He was on a ship with the Germans, called the Moravians, and the ship was about to sink, yet during that time, they were singing hymns. Whereas when John Wesley, he shrunk up in fear, they were singing hymns and spiritual songs and making melody to the Lord with all their heart. And he asked them about fear, and they had nothing to fear. Why? Because they had the Lord. Now, sometimes we put things in our lives that we think is going to fill us. Sometimes those things are more destructive. And sometimes, I mean, let's face it, there are a lot of religions in our world, right? And each and every one of them twists things a little bit. So we have to be careful to go to His Word, all right? To go to that book that a lot of you are holding right now, right? The book that I use to write a lot of this sermon. So we have to be careful. But in all things, when I have a youth meeting, the main purpose of that youth meeting, not necessarily singing, but it's having fun and raising up the Lord's name. We need to do that more here. I think a lot of us are spiritually dead. So The first thing that I found as I was studying was this, wise urgency. All right? The verses that are up here, wise urgency. I don't think we're as urgent as we should be. So I have three questions that come about out of this. All right? And the first question is, are you making bad choices about how you use your time? Are you making bad choices about how to use your time? So let's say that I had kidney disease, okay? And I had to be at the dialysis center 3 times a week for treating an AAM. Am I going to miss those treatments? Probably not, right? It's a life or death situation there. Because, I mean, if you know anything about treatment centers, if you miss your treatment, I don't know when you're going to get scheduled in for the next one. Because they usually pack those things in, right? Are you making bad choices about how you use your time? Think about this. If we were bad sick and we had to do something every day so that we could live, we would probably do it. Right? Because if we didn't, we would die. All right? I want you to know that God is always available for you. All right? No matter what is going on. And if we look at these first few verses and we look as being careful how you walk, being wise, make the best use of your time because the days are evil. I want you to know if we're thinking about being urgent, we probably need to think about this as a life or death situation. All right? Now, I can think as a youth, I've been a youth minister here for a long time. Okay, I started out as a kid being a youth minister in my mind, okay? And now I'm the elder at the church, which is really weird, all right? But here's the deal. How many excuses do you think I've gotten when I've asked people to do things? Do you know what the biggest excuse is? Time. It's time. I don't have the time. I got this going on. Oh, I'm going to step on some toes here. Please don't throw stones at me or hurt me, okay? There's some people that don't even have time to bring their kids to a youth deal. Sorry. Okay? Really think about that for a second. I want you to think about that. It's your children. Not having time. Now, I go through lessons on this, and I look at other sermons, the preacher's always talking about Wednesday night services and Sunday night services and how people don't have time to go. Even though they call and ask them to go, they don't have time because there's too much going on. They might miss their episode of Person of Interest, which is really impossible because it's on Netflix and you can see every episode there is, okay? But you get what I'm saying. It's about our time. And I really want you to think, you should schedule your time around God, all right? And I'll pick on my own family. We do this a lot. You know what? We're going to go to the cabin, all right, which is an awesome place. I love to hunt and fish, and we all have a great time there. And we're like, you know what? On Sunday, we're going to go to Tim and Brenda's church, and that way we don't miss church. I did that zilch. Zero. Nada. My wife and mom has some, me and dad probably not, okay? Stepping on our own toes. Do we got it? Don't have time. We need to wake up. We need to manage our life carefully. We need to think about how we're using our time. How are we approaching life challenges? Are we carefully making wise decisions, all right, every day? Because I'm telling you right now that the conditions of our world are unfavorable for us as Christians, all right? If you'll notice, there's been laws made where staff members at schools can't say anything about really about Christ because of church separation of church and state, right? And those things get empowered by our world every day, right? So there's powers out there that are making our world not favorable for the Christian. That's just one small thing, okay? But you know there's powers out there. So we have to manage our time wisely, okay? And I think as a Christian, we probably need to think a little bit above, because I'm going to go back to some of the stuff I said last week. Our morals, all right? We have to quit just letting some things go, right? Because time is ticking away. We need to wake up. We have to quit letting some things go. Now, we have to love people. Don't get me wrong. Love people, but hate the sin. Okay? If you know somebody that's sinning, it's okay to tell them about it. You know what? They might not like you anymore, but it's okay. You did what you were supposed to do. Right? Don't do like when we was in college. Remember the little guy that got up on a, we was over at Mac, and this little guy got up on a bleed, and you're all going to hell. Don't do that. All right? Okay? I'm serious. He was yelling it. He was preaching it out in a not a good way. Not exactly the way to do things, but our world has a mindset of anything goes. Right? But my Bible says that, yeah, anything goes, but not everything's permissible. Everything is permissible, but not everything is what? Beneficial. So, how are you using your time? My next question, this is another one that's going to step on your toes. Do you think your time belongs to you? Do you really think that? Wise urgency. Wise urgency. Your time doesn't belong to you. In verse 16 it says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Your time doesn't belong to you. How many times do you say this? I might have even said this before. I don't know, it's kind of weird saying, but I'll do it in my own time. I know I've said it a lot, man. I'll do that later because I am the chief procrastinator of the world. Okay? But how many times have you said, or you heard somebody say, I'll do it in my own time? Probably a lot. I hate to tell you, you don't have time. You don't have time. Because you're on God's time. God's time. Everything that's going on in this world right now is on God's time. And I want you to know one day he's going to come out of those clouds, and whether you're ready or not, he's coming out. The trumpets will sound, however it's going to happen. I know it's going to be awesome. The awesome is going to happen. So let me ask this question then. How much time does a dead person have? None. Now, I want you to think about this. When sin entered your life, you became dead. So if you are living in sin, you have no time. You're dead, you have no time. And the only thing that gives you time is Jesus Christ. So when I ask the question, do you think your time really belongs to you, you probably need to wake up. We're operating on God's time. I saw an awesome skit, and I got to tell you guys about this, because I was thinking about having the kids do a skit, and I'm a procrastinator, so I had to have them schedule it. I would have to schedule it yesterday and do COVID-19 6-foot-apart skit. That would have been impossible, okay? But, Adam Hector, could you come up here, please? So, you feeling pretty exercised today? Jumping Jackie?
As you can tell.
Yeah. All right, so the skit that I saw had a few kids up on the stage, okay, and Jesus walked in. We got it? Jesus walked in. Now, I thought about putting a robe on him and sandals, but nah. All right? So, come here, his daughter. Come on. So we have one kid walking around holding a sign that says, feed me. All right? Walking around, say, feed me. Kinley, come here. Come here. Had another one that was a businesswoman. Spent all the... You got your phone? I know you do. Come on, get it out. Oh, here, take mine. All right. Talking on her phone all the time. Okay? I'll just use these two. There was others, okay? Oblivious to the world around them. Doing their own thing. This one here, hungry, needing fed. This one here, too busy on that phone. I mean, it could have been a teenage girl, I guess. Or boy, because I've seen them all. I've seen those three right there. Scrolling. Look what happened on Facebook. Okay. All this stuff happening right here, right? Well, Jesus is here. Now, you would think that Jesus would just call this person here and call this person over and feed them. That's not exactly. Jesus stands up here and goes, no, you don't have to. And then, Cadence, come here. And then the believers come in, right? They go up, and Jesus says, hey, I got a job for you. Go talk to that person over there. Go talk to that person over there that needs talk to. And then in the skit, they had a Bible, and they were sharing God's word with them, okay? All right? Brian, I'm sorry, come here. Another believer, all right? He comes up to Jesus, and Jesus says, I have a job for you. And then Brian's over here buying food for this homeless person. And not only is he buying food, he's sharing the word of God, all right? Sharing the word of God with them. All right, so you Christians, go sit down. Now, you've got a Bible and you've got a Bible. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, come here. And now you're going up. And Jesus is saying, hey, go help this person. You can go ahead and have a seat. Help your sister. All right? And then Jesus is saying, go help this person. So, you're done. If you get the picture here is that as you spread the word of Christ to somebody, if you're out there spending your time wisely, because that's what this is about, all right? Don't think it's all about you. It's not, because it's not your time. It's all about Christ. And what does Christ want? More people. All right? So as you feed this person and tell them about Christ, Jesus is going to grab them and tell them to go tell somebody else. As you tell this teenager who's on the phone too much about Christ, you plant that seed, God waters it, bam, out there. Finding somebody else. Too many times I think, we're thinking, well, I wish God would just step in and do this. He did, he told you to do it. But no, we don't have time. I ain't got time to do that. I don't have time to call that person. I don't have time to help with VBS. I don't have time to go down and help this person who needs food. I don't have time. I want you to know he's telling you. You're thinking it. Don't you know that he's here? I don't know if there's anybody in this room who has not accepted Christ as their Savior, but I guarantee you know that there's somebody, there's something inside of you that once let out, all right? It's not your time. Time doesn't belong to you. Does not. Last week I read in Ephesians 5, 8, 9, and 10, for once you were in darkness, but now you're the light of the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. You want to know what pleases the Lord? Doing his work. Because it's not your time. It's not yours. Question 3. Do you know what God wants to do in and through your life? Well, I just said he wants you to spread the word. But how do you know that? How do you know what to say? How do you know what to do? Verse 17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What is God's will for your life? And I know that last week I talked about not spending enough time in prayer, not spending enough time reading your Bible. This week I added in not assembling together, putting other things before Christ. The same things were happening in the church of Ephesus. That's why Paul brought it up. Do you truly understand what the will of the Lord is? It's not a big secret. And you're not going to find it by researching Google. Type it in. You're only going to find it by spending time with God. And how do we spend time with God? This is one of them. The very breath. Right? The very breath. COVID-19 rule says that this Bible right here would have to be stuck in a sealed container for 72 hours before somebody else could look at it. Because I just breathed on it. But God's breath, anybody can look at it at any time. Anybody. In fact, there's a lot of them spread around this room. And if you don't have one, I bet I could find you one. I probably got 6 or 7 at my house. I got my favorite one. I got my second favorite one. And they all got the same thing in them. I don't even know why I say that. Right? Say exactly the same thing. But I'm telling you, this is the breath of God. And then you have to pray. All right? I found this awesome thing, and it's not even true, but I'm going to read it anyway. U.S. Peace Corps, all right, put out a manual. Not true, by the way, but you got to listen to this. Put out a manual back in the 80s about what to do if you're attacked by an anaconda. You ready? Number one. If you're attacked by an anaconda, do not run. The snake is faster than you are. Good point. All right? Number 2, lie flat on the ground. Put your arms tight against your sides and your legs tight against one another. Tuck in your chin is number 3. Number 4, the snake will become and begin to nudge you and climb over your body. Do not panic. Number 6, after the snake examines you, it will begin to swallow you from the feet end. From the feet end always. It never starts at the head, at the feet. All right? Permit the snake to swallow your feet and ankles, but do not panic. Number 7, the snake will now begin to suck your legs into his body. You must lie perfectly still. This will take a long time. Number 8, when the snake has reached your knees, slowly and with as little movement as possible, reach down, take out your knife, and very gently slide it into the side of the snake's mouth. And between the edge of its mouth and your leg. Then suddenly rip upward, severing the snake's head. Number 9, be sure you have your knife. And number 10, be sure your knife is sharp. So where am I going with that? Not that only that it's funny. What is this equivalent to in the Bible? The very word of God is a sword. All right? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the days of evil come, you may be able to stand your ground, and after everything... And after you have done everything to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted in the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with you so that you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You better have this thing for that anaconda. It's sharp, I promise you. It's sharp. That old snake, the deceiver. So, your time is ticking away. You better get some urgency in your life. All right? This stuff, I'm not just blowing smoke up here. All right? This is not just an entertainment. All right? This is not just entertainment. This is your roadbook to life. All right? And each and every week, Pastor Trevor comes up here and he shares bits and pieces of this. Then you go to Sunday school and more bits and pieces of it are studied and shared. And then if we had a Wednesday night, more bits and pieces would be studied and shared. We probably wouldn't have time for it, though. And then I want you to know that when we have youth services, that stuff's shared with your kids so that they have a sharp sword. The very breath of God is being shared at this church, but some of us don't have enough time. The value of time is huge because Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. I've read it at numerous funerals. Time is ticking away. So I found a list of 13 things. I'm going to read through them real fast. Because every day is an opportunity for us to live a productive life. So we need to start our day right with God. All right? You need to start starting your day right with God. Then you need to review the previous day. Okay? Think about things you did yesterday and how you can make things better today for God. Spend time in the Word of God every day. More than once if you can, if you have time. Pray. Pray continuously. Pray not just before you eat, not just now I lay me before you sleep. Pray. All right? Get organized. Organize your time and your priorities. This is stepping on my own toes. I watched probably 17 episodes of that show, and I have 17 more. I better prioritize. Okay? Actually, I probably got 22 more. All right? Prioritize. Get organized. What is really important in your life? And if God isn't at the top of that list, start over. Okay? If God isn't the top of your list, start over. Trust God each day for as it comes, okay? Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let all your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. Don't be scared. 7, work on your goals and projects. Work on it every day. You have lots of time. You know it. Because we're not using it wisely, and it's not your time anyway. 8 is my big one. Don't procrastinate. Ooh, that was hard on me. Okay. 9, read books. Study. Do what I did to prepare for a sermon. Look at what other people have put out there and then verify it for yourself. Study it. How about add value to someone's life? How about helping somebody out? Not just money or food. How about spreading the word? Spend quality time with your family. Get off those phones a little bit. Switch your phones off and actually talk. Don't text your sister downstairs to do something for you. Or upstairs. I know there was a lot of people that do that. Take time to rest. Who takes time to rest in here? I'm in. I got a nap coming on right now. All right? Take time to rest. Sometimes we don't have time to rest. Do you know God tells you to rest? I'm in on that one, okay? Forget the past, live in the present, and pursue the future. Pretty good words of wisdom. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I have a new thing. Now it shall come forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. That's from Isaiah 43. So you can't live in the past. You can't live in the future. You can only live in the moment. Psalms 118:24 says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it and be glad. So I want to let you know that today is a gift. It's not your time. It's God's time. Bruce, can you switch to that next screen, please? Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Everything that I've said goes back to this. If you're not doing what God wants you to do, and you think it's your time and not His, you're dead. So wake up. You're asleep. Wake up. It's time for each and every person in this room, including myself, my feet are flat right now because they've been stepped on so much, to wake up. So, as our musicians come forward, I want you